Well, good evening. Thanks for sticking around with us. Personally, I think you should absolutely keep doing it like this. I think that these events are great, and even though there may not be a whole lot of people compared to the last time, the fact that we have all the media coverage and everything here is a big bonus for candidates, so I think it still works out pretty well. Like I said, my name is Mike Hopkins. I'm a fourth-generation Montanan, originally born in Helena. Lived the vast majority of my life here in Missoula. I'm running for a number of reasons. I think a lot of you have been looking at the news lately, as a lot of articles have been written about the state's financial situation, primarily when we do a legislative session towards the end. What we start trying to figure out is how we leave ourselves in a position where we have a substantial rainy day fund or a surplus or ending fund balance, whichever term anybody wants to associate with it. And during the last legislative session, we had a very intense, I worked up at the last legislative session, I probably should have started out with, we had a really intense conversation about how we got to that ending fund balance and what it should be. And that was based off of revenue estimates. So there's two different places within government that makes a revenue estimate. There's the legislative fiscal division, which does legislative revenue estimates. And then there's the governor's budget office, which is headed by his budget director, who comes up with an estimate. The legislative fiscal division's estimate was, especially right now, looking like it was going to be far closer to reality than the one that we ended up going with. And the governor's estimate was extremely high. And so one of the battles that you have in the legislature is trying to figure out which one of these estimates is going to get closer to the actual revenue that we're going to be bringing in as a state. And what are the assumptions and the conditions that will lead to one of those two estimates working out? Governor Bullock, I've had a lot of time to talk to Governor Bullock, and I actually worked with his office quite a bit during the last legislative session when it came to education specifically, higher education. But he has this sort of obsession with political talking points, and specifically the one that he has the biggest obsession with is his $300 million surplus. And so when the legislature was having conversations about how we properly fund education, infrastructure, healthcare, on and on and on, we kept running into this brick wall, which was the governor saying, look, I want this artificial, because $300 million as a number doesn't stand for anything, right? There's no actual cost that's going to be coming along after the session that is $300 million. So he just purely wanted to be able to campaign for re-election on it. And I think now, when you look at what's happening, you can see that that kind of politics is what we need to move away from. We need to return to a common sense budgeting that simply looks at priorities, takes a realistic look at what kind of tax revenues we're going to bring in as a state, and then budgets accordingly. And sometimes if we have to leave something out of one biennial budget, we can include it in the next. But that's the primary reason why I decided to run. Because I think we need a return to common sense budgeting, and our money needs to be treated with more respect when the government takes it from us and spends it on different things. So thank you.
Thank you for sticking around. It's better than talking to a wall. And I guess we're last because if you notice when the ballots come out, we'll probably be at the very bottom of the ballot. So make sure you vote all the way down to the bottom of the ballot. I'm running, my name's Adrienne Marks. I'm running because my heart and soul is in this district. I have lived here for 35 years. I ran a business here. I have raised a family here. I have been a part of almost every club and organization. I've been chair of many things. I have brought different organizations to fruition. I have been in chair, I've been where class has been standing. I was chair of the community council during the contentious land use planning. And I must say, one of the skills that I've learned is to reach across the aisle, to look at different opinions, and to be a little bit of everybody. Because here in House District 92, that's who we are. I call myself a mutt. I actually have run two Republican campaigns. That's because I respect people. I'm going to take your values to Helena. Why? Because I've lived here. I don't live in Missoula. I have worked here. I know that we live here because of our resources, our public lands, our timber. We like the small town atmosphere. There's a uniqueness to us. I can represent us. And I can represent us because I'm a grandma. I want to look into the future. There are certain things we need to do. There are certain things we need to go forward with, and there are certain things we need to protect. And that is the personality that we have here in House District 92. Public lands, we can talk about this later. I'm a state advocate. I'm known throughout the state. I've spoken under the rotunda. Public lands should never be transferred. They are ours. They do not need to go to the state. There are other solutions for the problems. I am your education candidate. Mike works in education. He's for education too. I'm for education of the students that come here in House District 92. The small little tykes, the ones that are in kindergarten, they need funding for preschool, all the way through high school and into college. I was a teacher, school board member. I have MEA and MFT endorsement, and I'm proud of it. You know why? Because they're teachers. They're people that work every day of their lives in education, and it's something to be proud of, and I certainly am. That is our future.
Thanks. Same question as the previous legislative candidate as well. You keep it in.
Okay.
What are your legislative priorities, and how might they differ from your opponents?
I think mine differ because I've lived here and Mike hasn't. I know my neighbors. I believe in public lands. I know Mike has said he will transfer. I believe in education from preschool all the way through college, and I will help fund that. Not just tighten budgets. That isn't always the solution. I would never abolish the CARE Act. I have seen too many people receive medical care that they have never had. I have seen children. I have seen young adults, working men and women, and elderly finally get medical care. That is pretty darn precious. Anybody that loves their people, their neighbors, the district that they live in, should never abolish something that good. Tweak it, yes.
Thank you. All right, there was a little bit to unpack there, but I think I can do it and still adequately describe the differences on issues of my opponent and myself. The first one I just got to mention, because I hear it a lot during this campaign, is the idea that my opponent, or when any politician walks up to you and says, especially when they're running for a state legislative district, and they say, I've lived in the district my entire life, I completely give them the benefit of the doubt that they just don't know that we redistrict districts in the state of Montana every 10 years, and that this district specifically has only existed for 2 years. The first time this district existed was in the 2014 cycle. I think also a pretty important thing, when you say that you represent the district better than somebody, I wouldn't say that for either myself or my opponent. I think we both represent different parts of the district, but I would have to say that considering the majority of the population of House District 92 lives closer to myself than my opponent, I don't think that case really gets to be made. And I also don't think that just because somebody, like I live in Missoula, I don't think that I represent Missoula's values better than a Democratic legislator, right? And I think Sealy Lake, at least currently right now, is a more Republican area, helped to elect Doc Moore, who has endorsed my campaign. So I just don't think that really makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Oh, I'll get to the next one.
Yeah, you get the next question.
Oh, thank you.
Last opportunity to ask questions tonight. Anybody else?
Uh-oh.
Well, I'll ask the question about the sewer in Sealy. How much help do you think that the state needs to be jumping in and providing for towns like Sealy Lake versus how much do the individual towns themselves need to be putting the bill on that?
Okay, so I think there's a couple of things there. The first one is when I'm talking about budgeting, one of the things that I'm really interested in is infrastructure spending. I went to the last legislative session to work specifically on infrastructure spending as well as education. And we almost got it through. We missed it by one vote on the very last day of the legislature. I think part of budgeting as a state like I had said before, taking into account what you think your revenue is going to be and assigning it to priorities. When it comes to infrastructure, what you need to look at is areas like Sealy Lake or areas like Glendive, where sewer projects, where water projects, where road projects, where grid projects can make the biggest difference for the most amount of Montanans. And so I think one of the major ways that the state government could help is just by getting its priorities in order. So we're not just jumping out and funding every little legislator's side project. And then when it comes around to important things like infrastructure, which would include something like sewer for Glendive or for Sealy or for many other areas, that we find that we don't have the money anymore. I think it's one of the biggest mistakes we make in state government is that we just don't have any real concept of what our priority should be from one biennium budget to another.
I can also say that I've gone and legislated and lobbied both in the state and in D.C. for sewer funding. Towns like Sealy Lake that are going to need a sewer, extremely expensive. The people in the community that are in the sewer district cannot afford it. Someone has to break loose with the money. I've gone 3 times to D.C. I've worked with those people. I've gone to the legislature also and lobbied. And yes, I have. I've worked with the governor and others. And we are bringing it down. It's going to be achievable. We promised, the sewer board promised, that it would not come forward unless it was affordable for our people that are in that district. And I would stand by that promise. We are not going to charge so much that a person has to leave the district because they can't afford it. And I am the example because the sewer, I'm going to say this, the sewer system needs to be in there. I paid $100,000 for a septic system, and the next person that's going to do it in the trailer house in the back of Rivero's or the person down the street is not going to be able to afford it. We will shut down the town. That's what's going to happen. So we need to be proactive, and that's where we've been. That's certainly what I have been, and I will do my best for the people in this district.
Any more questions?
When you go to serve in the House, how do you propose to solicit public opinion? As we mentioned, also saying too, there's a lot of poor attendance to things that we try to get the public out to listen to so they can make qualified decisions. So do you have an idea of how you might go about soliciting public opinion to help you make decisions for all of us in the House?
I think that's the most essential part of being a legislator, being able to reach people. All my life here in Sealy Lake, I've had an open door, a revolving door. And it's very interesting that the people that have disagreed with me have come and talked to me, and we remain friends. They know, the people here know they have access to me. On my cards, my literature, every place that I have my address, I have my personal cell phone. That will be answered all the time. I am not an expert at anything. I am only going to be an expert by what you feed me on your life experiences. Your feet, your boots on the ground is what's going to tell me how you're impacted and exactly what the bill is going to do to you. That's the only way I'm really going to know. So not only do I want to do that, I have to do that because I plan on being the strongest candidate this district. And I live in this district. I have always lived here, and this district covers where I live.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that it's a pretty important challenge, especially considering that the legislature itself lasts 90 days. So everything starts moving at just a super fevered pace as soon as the legislative session starts. I think, just like my opponent, I have my cell phone number on all of my literature. I pointed out every door that I knock specifically so that people can always get a hold of me. But on top of that, one of the things that I think works well with the timing of the way that the legislature functions, and I'm kind of hoping that if I am honored enough to actually represent you in Helena, that I can make it work, is to work along with community councils, trying to steer it more towards nights when they would be regularly meeting, when there's just a natural, decent chance of a population coming out to an actual meeting, and hold a town hall and come over there and talk about different bills that are moving through whatever committee that I'm serving on, the pros and cons as I see it of it, and then taking feedback on how individuals think that it's going to affect them. Because at the end of the day, everything that you do at the legislature, in one way or another, talks about what the interaction between government and the individual is going to be. What is what people are talking about in Helena and voting in Helena? How is it actually going to affect your life? And so I think that there's a myriad of different ways that we could do it, but I hope the town hall model would work pretty well.
Question, right? Fastest growing segment in the United States today and in Montana are the elderly and handicapped. The elderly and handicapped are being discriminated against by the Forest Service and by Fish, Wildlife, Parks, and all the state land managers because they won't let us go where physically able people can go. I have friends in Helena that are in wheelchairs, and they can't see the land that they own. And the reason they can't see it is because somebody won't put a 6-gauge gate in there so they can get by on a motorized vehicle so they can see the land that anybody is welcome to see if you were a walker. Unfortunately, our land has become only available to the rich, wealthy, and healthy. And I want to know what you're going to do to make that more available to the most discriminated class of the state.
Yeah, I think that it's an excellent question. And in fact, I've had a lot of conversations like it. So one of the major problems with any legislative body, not just in Montana, I have a lot of friends in Georgia and in Arizona that run into the exact same things. When you connect rulemaking authority to unaccountable bureaucrats and you allow them to spend the next 20 years sort of just revolving and coming up with ideas for what they want without the people being able to hold those ideas, those concepts, those rules, what are going to be laws, accountable at the ballot box, you always end up with stuff like this. And the problem is that these people who are working in Helena aren't bad people. They're just completely detached from the lives of people anywhere other than Helena. And so I think a lot of the problem is just hiring new people, better people that have actual experience in the field. You heard from a couple candidates tonight, especially one that was running for the land board, saying that there's nobody on the land board that actually has any experience with land. And you could go through a number of different agencies in Helena and make the exact same statement, that the people who are doing the job have very little experience with the actual thing they're supposed to be regulating. And it's a very serious problem, and I'm out of time, unfortunately. But
and those questions concern all of us. We're all getting older. We all have parents. And we all face the same thing. We do need more access. And certainly turning over public lands is going to close up more access. And we have public lands that need more access. I say that repeatedly. More access is part of what I'm going to fight for. And what kind of access? Absolutely, we need more ADA accessible places. I know some of them are going in. How that funding works, we need to be probably more proactive. But we need that because that's our happens to be our future also. And it makes it really understandable. So I'm not in a disagreement with that. What the solutions are, I don't know. But for one thing, it's going to cost some money. And we need to put our money where our mouth is.
On the state level, what do you foresee that you think you can do? We've heard about the coal problems in the eastern part of the state. Over here, we have logging trucks going up and down the road. What do you foresee that you can do on the state level to help the timber industry so that we don't lose business like Pyramid? If Pyramid goes out of business, you don't have to worry about putting the sewer in. There won't be anybody to build anything.
I wish we had the magic answer for that. One of the answers we've come up with is collaborations. I have worked with the Blackfoot Clearwater Stewardship Project for over 7 years. And we work with timber, we work with other recreation interests across the board, versatility in how we have access to our resources. Timber has always been a heritage here. And I would not have survived in my business if it wasn't for timber. That's why, first of all, we need to be diversified. We need recreation, we need wilderness, we need timber, we need it all. What happens at the legislature will depend on what comes forward from the Montana Wood Products and other similar industry standards and bring those forward in bills. I will be a strong advocate, just like I am for public lands, because I live here. My income depended on timber. And one of my endorsers, Gordy Sanders, knows that I will work with him and wood products and the timber industry in the legislature, and I will have the best of experts to guide me through that.
Thank you. Oh, I mean, I certainly don't mean to be rude, but I guess I do just have to share what my actual opinion is on this. I think that if you want to change things like that, you need to elect more Republicans. I think one of the biggest problems, whether it's timber, coal, or natural gas, is that the Democratic Party currently has an army of people going around demonizing every good basic job that's created in Montana for one reason or another. And a lot of politicians in Helena simply don't have a backbone. They're very influenced by the people who fund their campaigns. And so when you just allow this small army of activists to put it into their head that all of these jobs are the devil and that we're ruining the environment if we harvest, it's ridiculous. And until you address that situation, until you get people into Helena that actually care about the issue, more than re-election or getting money from a PAC, it's simply not going to change. And I think that if you went around, whether it's the mills here in this district or around the state, and you ask those employees and you ask those owners whether or not they think that Republicans or Democrats are looking out for their issues and looking out for those jobs, I think almost to a person they're going to say that the Democratic Party left them behind long ago. Out, done, over.
We have time for one more.
Oh, I guess I should probably keep that. Sorry.
Okay, closing statements. Mike started, so you'll start.
Oh, I apologize.
Keep us going.
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, I don't care to be broad-brushed, and I don't think our party deserves to be broad-brushed. You do not need to elect somebody that is going to broad brush with an easy answer that all Republicans have the answer for business. I ran one of the largest businesses in this valley for over 20 years. I was successful. I knew budgets. I know employees. I know how to take care of my people. And I know what brings business in the door. And it's not that kind of attitude. It's being able to accept all people. And it doesn't matter what walk of life they're in, whether they're in the poverty level, or whether they have the biggest boat on the lake, or if they go out in the woods and cut timber, or if they stay home and watch TV. It takes everybody to make a village. And that sort of attitude should scare us all. And I don't really need to say too much more, except I will say this. I'm running because of my heart and soul in this district. And I'm passionate, and I know what works. I am not a candidate like my opponent that's running for his third try in his third different district. Now, that's a politician. If you want a politician that doesn't know you, vote for my opponent. If you want to vote for somebody that has lived here, has given their life blood here, that stands before you very emotional at this point because I feel very offended, you need to vote for me. And if you're not offended, go on his personal Facebook page. find out what he can put on his personal Facebook page as far as Trump doing something to Hillary. It should offend every woman. It's degrading, and it's a position that no leader in the legislature should ever have on their personal Facebook page.
Oops, sorry. Let me try to get that untangled for me. Perfect. Well, I can't really say that I know exactly what she was referring to on my Facebook page, but I would absolutely welcome all of you to go to my personal Facebook page and read it. It's where I put most of my posts about the way that I feel on this issue or that. You'll see posts about the current financial situation of the state, and by all means, you should absolutely be looking at the social media pages of your candidates and deciding who you think better represents you. I don't think I was painting with a broad brush. I've just worked over at a legislative session primarily with Democrats like Zach Brown, who's somebody I've worked with for the last decade on education funding, on student loans, et cetera, et cetera. But these are from conversations that I've had with actual people who live in Sealy Lake and Bonner and Clinton. This is their outlook on things. And I think that it's right. And I don't think that just because we want to work together on this issue or that issue, I don't think that we can't, and at the same time recognize what reality is. I mean, that's just what it is. And I guess I'll also include this, although I wasn't going to bring it up, because I guess my opponent mentioned it the third time as a charm. When she says that I've said that I'm going to sell public lands, I somehow feel like she must not have been here for the primary version of this, because I do specifically remember sitting at this chair at the primary debate saying, I think states manage federal lands better than the federal government does. However, I do not think the cost associated with shifting federal lands to the state is actually financially responsible. And I'm pretty sure that you could actually go find the Pathfinder issue that covered the debate, and it will have exactly those words on it. So I've heard that a couple of times, and I expected to get a couple random things, but that one's just blatantly untrue. And I wouldn't have a problem saying if that's what I did believe, but it's not what I believe. So,
right.
Yeah. The last thing I would say is that at some point, we got to take stock of where we are as a state. If you as individuals think that your taxes are too low or that your taxes are just right, if you think that the fees that you were charged every time you want to do anything in your own state are not high enough or just right, if you think that regulations that hamper people from being able to set up businesses or run businesses or conduct their life, then go ahead and vote for the Democrat, because that's the party that is going to do the best job for you. If you think that your taxes are too high, there's too many regulations, fees are out of control, and our state government just basically is rudderless, I would say vote for Republicans who actually want to change those things. And I would be honored to have your vote, and I would be honored to serve you in the legislature. So thank you all so much for your time. Personally, I think we had the funnest one.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. So you know you said transfer. It's in the Pathfinder. Yes, you did.
No, I certainly did not.
Yeah, I did.
You said transfer.
Dream. That's literally not what I believe. You get to say it as much as you want.
And you said it down there too.
Nah, we don't need it. It's just
right
going to be a campaign trail. We're good. You can say it all you want. People ain't going to buy it.
Hey, I don't need that from Mom.